morena, everyone. Ata Marie. The first reading is from Acts, chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wārua ki te hāhi. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 9. Te whakamoe miti te kōrea ki te ātua. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongapai tēnā a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe miti tia a te kupu mana.
Morena. Good morning. I might just lift this up a little bit. Ko Ian Scarlett, tōku ingoa. It's a real privilege to share some thoughts with you on our remarkable heritage as followers of Jesus here in Waikanae and what the future may hold. As Steve mentioned, today is Te Pohiri Sunday, Constitution Sunday, the day on which we celebrate and reflect on the life of our three tikanga church. Can you tell me, have you ever been in a worship service that was in a different language to English? Give me it's quite an experience, isn't it? I remember being in Papua New Guinea, and the whole service was in Pidgin English. That was quite an experience for me. More recently, I was in Tonga, and I was staying in a guest house right on the beach in Nuku'alofa. I don't know if the guest house still exists after the volcano that erupted in the tsunami that happened there, but at that stage there was a big Tongan church just around the corner, so I went to a Sunday service at this Tongan church, and the whole service was in Tongan. I had no idea what the preacher was preaching, but when they got up to sing, oh my word, it was amazing. So we're part of a three tikanga church: tikanga Māori, tikanga Pacifica, and tikanga Pākehā. And the whole thing about those three ways or those three streams is for people to worship in their first language. That's what it's all about. So in recognition of tikanga, I'd like to introduce myself to you using the structure of pepeha, the speech you give to introduce yourself to a new gathering in Te Ao Māori. During my employment as a team leader at NZQA, it was my privilege to introduce new team members to the rest of the staff at a special event known as a whakatau. The event was organised by the staff of the Deputy Chief Executive Māori team, and we followed Te Ao Māori protocols during the whakatau. So we sang waiata and introduced ourselves in te reo using pepeha. So I'm really indebted to the members of that team who guided me as I prepared my pepeha. This morning, for your understanding, my pepeha will be mostly in English. I was born in Waimate, South Canterbury, just a few kilometres north of the Waitaki River, which has its multiple hydroelectric dams and power stations. The headwaters of the Waitaki include lakes Tekapo, Pukaki, and Ohau. At the head of Lake Pukaki is Aoraki, Mount Cook. So Aoraki is the mountain that speaks to my heart. Ko Aoraki te maunga e rune taku nako. And Waitaki is the river that calms my fears. Ko Waitaki te awa e mahia nei aku maharahara. My parents are Jack and Esther Scarlett, who were farming at Willowbridge, just out of Waimate, when I was born. They sold up a few years later so Dad could train to become an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church. Back to our reading from Acts chapter 10. Right at the beginning of the reading, Peter said, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." That truth has shaped the life of the family of God from its beginnings in Jerusalem. It's spread across the Roman Empire through to its arrival in New Zealand with Samuel Marsden's message on Christmas Day in 1814. and it continues to shape us today. It's important for us to understand the context of Peter's realization, because it was set in motion by the Holy Spirit. This was a God thing. Cornelius, a Roman centurion, saw an angel in a vision who told him that God had taken notice of his prayers and gifts to the poor. The angel told him to send for a man named Peter, who was staying with Simon the Tanner in the city of Joppa. That was down the road from where Cornelius was. He was in Caesarea. Around noon the next day, the messengers from Cornelius arrived at Simon the Tanner's house and asked if Peter was staying there. As an Orthodox Jew, it went against every fibre of Peter's being for him to even consider visiting the home of Cornelius, where he would be speaking to and eating with uncircumcised people. But the Spirit said to him, "Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Before the messengers arrived, Peter had been praying and fallen into a trance where he had seen all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds, and heard a voice tell him, "Get up, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice replied, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Still thinking about his vision and what the Spirit had said to him, Peter welcomed the messengers, and the next day they all set out for Cornelius' house, as we heard in our reading. While Peter was still speaking to the crowd that Cornelius had invited, the Spirit intervened and came on all who were listening to him. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, just after the reading that we had this morning, this is what happened. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. In that moment, the Spirit made it very clear that God accepts from every nation those who fear him and do what is right. So it was God who initiated cross-cultural partnership between Peter and Cornelius, and that resulted in many new disciples. Exciting stuff, isn't it? When the Spirit spoke, Peter listened. Now it's our turn. Let's be alert and listen when the Spirit speaks to us. Our experience of the Spirit may not seem as dramatic as Peter's, but responding to his prompting is what keeping in step with the Spirit is all about. One of my earliest experiences of the Spirit speaking to me took place at a church service in Wairoa, up in northern Hawke's Bay. Jenny and I were living there, and I was working as a mathematics teacher at the local college. Jenny had just begun to follow Jesus, and she invited me to accompany her to an evening service. I was quite skeptical about going to a church service at all, but curious enough to accept her invitation. During that service, the speaker prayed for all the teachers in town. I had thought, prior to that God couldn't possibly be interested in a wayward preacher's kid like me. But as the prayer unfolded, I couldn't escape the thought that I was included. Looking back, I know it was the Spirit saying to me, "Ian, God loves you and is vitally interested in you." Later that evening, I responded to the Spirit and said to the Lord that I wanted to follow Jesus too. I was through with doing my own thing and looking for meaning in hippie alternatives and Eastern religion. Returning to Peter and Cornelius, in the same way that Peter was inspired by the Spirit to cross cultural boundaries in going to visit Cornelius, Church Missionary Society missionaries were inspired to come to New Zealand in the early years of the 19th century to make disciples of the indigenous Maori people. Those early missionaries faced the enormous challenge of learning the Maori language, creating a written form of it because that didn't exist, beginning to translate parts of the Bible into Te Reo, and teaching Maori people how to read their own language. Such was the challenge that in the early years there was little progress in making disciples. That began to change with the arrival of the Reverend Henry Williams in 1823. So this was 9 years after Samuel Marsden had preached in 1814. Henry Williams took steps to ensure that all new missionaries became proficient in the Maori language so that they could preach in it as soon as possible. In the Penguin History of New Zealand, Michael King notes that by the late 1820s, Bay of Islands Maori began to offer themselves for baptism. Disciple-making activity increased when Maori evangelists, many of them former slaves who had been converted in Ngāpuhi territory, that's up in Northland, were allowed to return home when their masters also became followers of Jesus and rejected slavery as an institution. Are you still with me? These Maori evangelists who worked in partnership with the CMS missionaries were largely responsible for the rapid spread of disciple-making activity beyond the Bay of Islands. One of these ex-slave Maori evangelists, his name is Hohepa Mataho, and he's also known as Hohepa Ripahau, returned to his home on the Kapiti coast, right here. He had been taken to the Bay of Islands as a slave in his youth. In Paihia, he lived with the Reverend William Williams, Henry Williams' brother, and studied at the mission station. Following his return to the Kapiti coast, he met up with Tamihana Te Rapraha and his cousin Matene Te Whiwhi, and they became really interested in his knowledge of Christianity and the sections of the New Testament and the Book of Common Prayer that he had brought back from Paihia. Such was their interest that Tamihana and Matene went by ship to the Bay of Islands to seek a missionary for the Kapiti coast. Octavius Hadfield responded to their request and began work at Waikanae and Otaki in November 1839. The Dictionary of New Zealand Biography has this to say about Octavius Hadfield. At first, Hadfield found Te Atiawa at Waikanae who had been influenced by the teacher Hohepa Matahau, more receptive to his teaching than Māori at Otaki, led by Te Rapraha. Although never a convert, Te Rapraha became Hadfield's firm friend and provided timber for the church at Waikanae in 1842. Congregations of up to 500 came, often from a distance, to school and to church services. You recognise that photo of the, or that picture of the church there? Anyone seen it before? It's out there in the foyer. So that's the church that Te Rapraha provided timber for in 1842. So right here in Waikanae's history, there developed strong partnership between local Māori believers and the CMS missionaries. They worked together in the family of God to make disciples. I think it's really fascinating that God used Māori people released from slavery, people who had been on the margins of society, to spread disciple-making activity beyond the mission stations in the Bay of Islands. And I think it's quite likely that it took the missionaries by surprise. This was a God thing. And now it's our turn to work together in the family of God to make new disciples. That sense of being a family is captured in the sentence of the day in our news sheet. There it is on the screen. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This theme of partnership and being brothers and sisters in the family of God was central to the establishment of the Three Tikanga Church in 1992. Speaking at St. James Church in Kerikeri on Te Pohere Sunday in 2010, Bishop Ross Bay had this to say. The catchword at the time was, and still is, partnership. How can we as a church organise ourselves to effectively fulfil our mission to an ethnically diverse group of people within this part of the Pacific? The indigenous inhabitants of this land, along with the later settlers and the people of the islands of the Pacific, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa. Over the past year or so, I have felt stirred by the Holy Spirit to learn more about the arrival of Christianity in New Zealand and to better understand the cultures that make up the family of God here in Aotearoa, especially Māori culture, because it was the culture in which the church in New Zealand was born. I believe the Holy Spirit is inviting us to a greater level of cross-cultural partnership, especially with our Māori brothers and sisters. I don't know what that will look like, but I'm encouraged by our use of te reo in our worship services. In the final Sentinel's Lent study for 2022, Archbishop Philip Richardson, who is the head of the Tikanga Pākehā Church, was asked, where do you see life coming forth because of cross-cultural partnerships? He replied, I think in Aotearoa, New Zealand, our future as Tikanga Pākehā lives and resides in Te Ao Māori. The more we can, as Pākehā, immerse ourselves in that relationship, the more we will be formed into the kind of church I think is God's dream for us in Aotearoa. He went on to say, it's not about being incredibly comfortable or familiar. It's about being prepared to enter into that experience of cross-cultural engagement, just like Peter and Cornelius, and just like those early CMS missionaries coming to New Zealand. In my own experience of cross-cultural engagement, there have been times when I've felt anything but comfortable. But I've always sought to respect and understand different cultures. A few years ago, when our son-in-law's dad passed away, he was part Maori, part Samoan, we did all we could to support our son-in-law, our daughter, and their extended family. That involved attending the tangi at Marae-Rua Marae in Waitangirua. And we were feeling quite uncomfortable because it was our first up-close experience of farewelling a loved one in a Marae setting. Members of our son-in-law's family went above and beyond to welcome us. They showed us around the marae, they offered us food, and they explained protocols. We felt so grateful for their willingness to reach out to us. And it reminded me that whenever we have stepped into cross-cultural engagement, we've always been met with the warmest of responses. Archbishop Phillip's words are an invitation. He said, our future as tikanga Pākehā lives and resides in Te Ao Māori. The more we can, as Pākehā, immerse ourselves in that relationship, the more we will be formed into the kind of church I think is God's dream for us in Aotearoa. So, my question for us this morning is, will we collectively accept his invitation? I'm sure we'll need lots of further conversations about that as we step into our disciple-making future. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you that you love each of us regardless of our cultural background. Please enable us to respond with grace and courage to the challenges that lie ahead as we listen to your Spirit inviting us into fruitful cross-cultural engagement that will lead to disciple-making. Amen.